मुनिमिदंडस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपापदमयं तथाभीष्टापदन्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनाबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी नमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Lalanath is one of the very important sacred places of our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. It is eternally a place which is extremely dear to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whatever is dear to the Lord naturally becomes most dear to the Lord's devotees. This is the principle of transcendental consciousness. Whatever is pleasing to Krishna is pleasing to his devotees. Rupa Goswami has said we should accept what is favorable for devotional service, and we should reject what is unfavorable for devotional service. What is favorable is what pleases Krishna. What is unfavorable is what displeases Krishna. What pleases Krishna and displeases Krishna is not something subjected to our imagination or interpretation. From Guru, from Sadhu, from Shastra, it is clearly explained. Today, people want to make religion into something that fits very nicely into their own conception of reality. However, Bhagavatam explains, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Real religion is enunciated by God. Anything else cannot be. So on the path of bhakti, which is the essence, the conclusion of all religion, as Gita explains, bahunam janmanam ante jnanavamam papadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabaha. After many births and deaths of following various religious principles, one who finally comes to the platform of real knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the ultimate cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. To come to the conclusion that abandoning all varieties of religion and just surrendering to what Krishna wants is the ultimate perfection of knowledge. In this material world, everyone engages in countless sinful activities. Whether one is in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, everything that is done separate from the service of the Lord is ultimately sinful. It is a violation of the eternal principle that Krishna is the enjoyer and proprietor of everything that exists and everyone that exists. But Krishna, he has the power, and only he has the power, to annihilate all sins and their reactions and even their propensities from within our hearts. And that comes in reciprocation of surrender. So for devotees, it is our life and soul to cultivate the consciousness that whatever is pleasing to Krishna is what pleases me. Whatever is displeasing to Krishna is what I detest. Sense gratification displeases Krishna when it is done according to our egoistic conception. And when we engage our mind and senses in his loving service, that pleases Krishna. That is the true path of real spiritual advancement. In our great Vaishnava scriptures, it is so intimately explained what pleases Krishna, who pleases Krishna, how they please Krishna. This holy abode of Alalanath is very, very pleasing to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is for that reason that we have come here. Because by showing that what pleases him pleases us, we will get his mercy. And that is the path of purification. This prasadam hall that we are now sitting was personally constructed by a very, very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya, His Divine Grace Srila Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj, one of our very beloved senior God brothers, one of the illustrious disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In fact, I'm, as his representative, one of his very dearmost disciples is with us, Madhavananda Prabhu. Can you stand up, Madhavananda Prabhu? Let us very enthusiastically welcome him and his Guru Maharaj to our Please sit, sir. On January 1st, 1996, as an offering to Srila Prabhupada on his centennial, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj constructed this prasadam hall, kirtan hall, pravachan hall, darshan hall, for the pleasure of all Vaishnavas. So for his pleasure, and Madhavananda Prabhu's pleasure, we would like to speak something that comes to our heart on this occasion, which also illuminates very sacred essential truths of Lord Jagannath's appearance and the glory of Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj departed from this world and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day in the holy land of Srimayapur Dham, just minutes after narrating a very special story describing the glories of Sri Jagannath Puri. My insignificant neophyte condition for my own purification, I would like to try to share with you what I can remember. Madhavananda Prabhu, with your blessings. Please listen very carefully. You can accept gold even from a filthy place. So please listen very carefully. Understand that our purification is dependent on our enthusiasm. The process of Krishna consciousness is essentially based on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And it is not a mechanical process. It's not just if the sound vibration comes in, you will get automatically so purified. No doubt, if the sound vibration goes in, even if you're sleeping, some purification will be there. But that type of purification may take many, many births. But if we are eager, if we are anxious, as an austerity, even if we have no taste, as an austerity, we should be eager, we should be alive to hear. Just like your ear holes are about this big. When Harikatha is coming, you should be trying to stretch them hundreds of millions of miles, big holes, so that more and more and more could come in. This should be our enthusiasm. Rupa Goswami wanted millions and billions and trillions of ears. All of them, hundreds and thousands of miles in diameter. And that would not be enough. So Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj was a resident of Orissa. He was born and raised a very, very great Vaishnava. So he knows very intimately the stories of Lord Jagannath. So he explains that in Dwarka, Krishna was always in the pangs of separation of Sri Vrindavan. In fact, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. How is it possible? Krishna reciprocates with the love of his devotees. Wherever the devotees are hearing and chanting his glories, he is always present. Vrindavan Dham is the place where the devotees, with the most intimate, sweet mood of love, are constantly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Their every word, their every step is only for the pleasure of the Lord. They know nothing else. They can understand no other conceptions. The residents of Vrindavan would not be interested in the news of the times of India. They only know Krishna. Whatever Krishna is doing is all they're concerned with. When Krishna left Vrindavan, the pangs of their separation could never be understood by the mortal mind. They were practically dying at every moment. But we know that Krishna was fully manifesting himself within their hearts, embracing their every desire. Krishna was millions and times more present within the hearts of the gopas and gopis in their separation than he was when he was laying beside his queens in Dwarka. In fact, when he would be laying beside his queens in Dwarka, he would often be, when he was in very external consciousness, he would be performing the role of Dwarkadish. But when he would go internally, he would uncontrollably start to chant Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Gopi, 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 Yashoda, Nanda, Sridhama, Stoka Krishna. He'd be crying out the names of his devotees. And especially when he would be in very internal consciousness, he was constantly crying out for Srimati Radharani's love. So one day, Krishna, immersed in the remembrance of the selfless, pure devotion of Srimati Radharani, Krishna fell in an unconscious state due to separation. In that state, it appears that there was no life remaining in his body. In fact, this is the same state that the Brijavasis were usually in Vrindavan. This is reciprocation. So, at that time, Uddhava, the dearest friend of Krishna in Dwarka, as well as Sri Narada Muni, that celestial preaching saintly person who's constantly chanting the glories of Vrindavan, they happened to come. They saw Krishna laying in this mystical state. They were wondering what to do. At that very moment, Lord Sri Balaramji happened to appear. They discussed amongst each other and decided that Krishna is performing a very mystical pastime. He is immersed in the separation of Srimati Radharani and Sri Brajbhumi. The only way we can bring him out of his unconscious state is to chant the glories of Vrindavan. So they asked Sri Narada Muni to sing the glories of the loving Leela of Vrindavan Dham. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has sung, Narada Muni Bajai Vina Radhika Ramana Name. Narada Muni plays many bhajans according to time, place, circumstance, and the people he's with. But in his heart of hearts, he is always singing the glories of Sri Krishna and Sri Radharani's transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan. So Narada Muni was about to play his veena and sing. But then he expressed his concern. If I start singing the glories of Brajabhumi, the Leela of Radha and Krishna, then Krishna will come to consciousness, but immediately he will want to go to Vrindavan. We should prepare his chariot so that when he's about to go, there will be no inconvenience. So they called Daruka, Krishna's charioteer. They arranged his chariot. When Narada Muni was about to start singing, Uddhava expressed his concern. If Krishna goes to Vrindavan and sees the most piteous state of the Brijavasis, who are engrossed, who are inundated in the feelings of separation, they are laying there, weeping, practically dead. If Krishna sees them in that condition, how much he will be affected. He will never be able to leave them in that condition again. Thus, he will not come back to Dwarka. So this will very much complicate problems. So Narada Muni said to Uddhava, you should go to Vrindavan and you should tell the Brijavasis that Krishna's coming. Then they will come out of their lamentation and they will be cheerful to welcome him. Uddhava, he became very sad. He said, Sri Naradaji, what you say I must do, but please reconsider. Krishna sent me from Mathura to Vrindavan many years ago. He sent me there specifically to pacify them. But I could not pacify them. They were simply crying and crying and crying for Krishna. How am I supposed to pacify them? Nothing will pacify them except Krishna. When a person in this material world cries, what do they cry for? The loss of someone who is dear to them.
Death. Separation.
Or a person cries due to loss of money, property, wealth, prestige, failure. So to such a person, you can preach to them and tell them everything in this material world is temporary. You should not cry. It is all inevitable. Why should you cry over the inevitable? It is all illusion. However, they're crying for Krishna. Krishna is the absolute eternal truth. I would make an aparad to them by telling them not to cry for Krishna. To cry for Krishna is the ultimate perfection of life. I wanted to tell them, cry more, cry more, cry more. I failed miserably. I could not compensate for what they were lacking. All I could do is I approached Mother Yashoda, Sri Radharani, the gopis, and I told them, I promise, when I go to Mathura, I will appeal to Krishna, please go back to Vrindavan as soon as possible. Your servants are about to die. Please go back. And I believe that very soon he will come. But to this, Krishna has not gone back. If I go there now and I tell them that Krishna's coming, do you think they will believe me? That's what you said last time. Decades ago, he still hasn't come. You are a liar. We cannot take your words true. So Uddhava and Narada Muni, they decided that perhaps Balaramji, you should go and tell them. Krishna is coming! Welcome him with great joy. Sri Balaram became very sad. He said, it is very nice you are telling me to do like this. And I cannot say no to what you request. So please reconsider. Krishna sent me to Vrindavan many, many years ago. I stayed there for 2 months during the springtime. When I saw the condition of the Brijavasis, how they are surviving. They cannot eat, they cannot sleep, they cannot talk anything but Krishna. They're just laying in the ground, rolling in the ground. The river Jamuna does not even flow. The calves do not even drink the milk from their cows. The gopis with tears in their eyes, almost like ghosts, they just make garlands for Krishna, bhoga for Krishna, hoping he will come back tonight. But he doesn't come back. They just go on crying and crying and crying. And I tried to pacify them. The residents of Vrindavan without Krishna are like fish without water. If you take fish out of water, what else can satisfy them except that water? Nothing else can pacify the Brijabasis except the personal association of Krishna. So when I saw that there was nothing I could do, I failed. I promised Yashodamai, after touching her feet, that I will go back to Dwarka. And I will beg Krishna to come. And I'm sure he'll come. I'll do everything I can to get him to wind up his responsibilities and return to Vrindavan. When I returned to Dwarka, I told Krishna, what is the condition of the Brijabasis? You must go. Krishna said, yes, I will go. Yes, I will go. To this day, he's saying, yes, I will go. But still, he has not gone. If I speak these words to Mother Yashoda that Krishna is coming, she will not believe my words. Then Balaram began to cry piteously, calling out, oh, Brijabasis, How will you survive? How are you surviving? Thinking of their lamentation and separation, Balaram was beside himself in an ocean of transcendental grief. It seemed quite hopeless. But at that moment, Subhadramai appeared. She heard what they were speaking. She said, "Do not be in any way in anxiety. I will go to Brijbhumi. And I will tell the Braj Gopis and Gopas that Krishna is coming. Prepare my chariot. I will go and lay on Mother Yashoda's lap, wipe away her tears, and I will tell her, Krishna's coming. Krishna's coming." In fact, Balaram, Krishna, and myself all left Dwarka together on 3 chariots. But on the way, so many kings and maharajas and other great personalities were greeting Krishna by erecting pandals and offering aartis and prayers. So Krishna and Balaram are delayed. But he's on his way. Krishna's coming. Krishna is coming. Then I will go to gopis, and I will personally with my own hand wipe their tears away. And I will tell them that male people are a little crooked, but we females are very simple. As a woman, you should believe what I say. Krishna is on his way to Brajbhumi. He is coming. Have faith in my words. And they will have faith. And they will be joyous. They will play musical instruments. They will decorate the town, the village of Vrindavan. Singing and dancing, they will welcome Krishna with great joy. So Balaram, Uddhav, and Narada Muni were very happy. They said, "Yes, this is the answer. You go, and then Narada Muni will begin to sing." So Balaramji, he was thinking, that how can I let Krishna go to Vrindavan alone? I will join Subhadra. So Subhadra, first Balaram's cart, and then Subhadra's cart followed that. And this is exactly how the Ratha Yatra takes place. First Balaram's cart, followed by Subhadra's cart, and followed by some distance by Lord Jagannath's cart. So they began their journey. Then Sri Narada Muni began to sing the glories of Vrindavan's Leela. Krishna, when that sound vibration entered into his heart, in great ecstatic love, he stood up in his threefold bending form. Now this threefold bending form is never manifested in Dwarka. This is Vrindavan Bhav. In his threefold bending form, everything was there except his flute. Because in Dwarka he doesn't keep any flutes. He began to search for his flute. Where is my flute? Where is my flute? That he was looking here and there for flute, he came upon Narada Muni. "Oh, Narada Muni, what are you doing in Vrindavan?" He continued searching for his flute. He saw Uddhava. "Uddhava, you are in Vrindavan. Is this Vrindavan? Is this Vrindavan?" Then he began to He continued searching for his flute. He saw Uddhava. "Uddhava, you are in Vrindavan. Is this Vrindavan? Is this Vrindavan?" Then he began to understand. So Narada Muni and Uddhava said, "Krishna, your chariot is waiting. We knew upon hearing Vrindavan Leela you would immediately want to go, so everything is ready. Get on your chariot and take your journey to Vrindavan." When Krishna was thinking of again seeing Srimati Radharani and the Brijavasis, the pangs of his separation were so great he couldn't even properly walk. He was intoxicated by ecstatic love. So Uddhava and Naradaji, they were carrying Krishna, helping Krishna somehow to get to the chariot. And Krishna was weaving back and forth and going up and down like a drunken man. So in the same way you have seen yesterday at the Pandu Vijay, and when they were escorting Krishna to Gundicha, that Krishna is like that. And don't think that this is just the orchestrated dramatic performance of the Pandas or the Dayata Patis. Rather, this is actually the mood of Lord Jagannath entering into Gundicha. They are just puppets. It may appear that they're moving Jagannath around, but actually Jagannath is moving them around. So Krishna got on his chariot and began his travels to Brajbhumi. Balaram and Subhadra arrived. When they saw the condition of the gopas and gopis, they were astounded. When they saw what kind of ecstatic loving symptoms they were exhibiting in separation, Balaram was stunned. Because Balaram is none different than his body. He is Sachidananda Vigraha. There's no difference between his heart and his form. When his heart melted, his body melted exactly in the same way. And in this process, tears flowed from his eyes. His limbs, legs, hands entered into his body. And seeing the ecstasy of the Vrijvasis' love, his eyes became very much dilated. This is Mahabhav Prakash. And Subhadra, seeing the same scene, she became the same way. So Subhadra, being stunned, unable to speak, unable to move, there was no hope of her going to tell Yashoda that Krishna was coming. So there was no news. Meanwhile, Srimati Radharani was in the sacred grove of Niduban. There, the pangs of her ecstasies and separation were reaching their ultimate limits. Crying out Krishna's name, she fell to the ground, unconscious. Her head was laying in the hands of Lalita Sakhi. It appeared that there was no life in her body. From time to time, they were putting cotton swabs under her nose just to make sure she was still alive. The Sakhis, the gopis, they were beside themselves in great anxiety. They didn't know what to do. All they could do is in very sweet and loving voices chant the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
The news spread throughout Vrindavan that Radharani is dying. So her apparent husband, Abhimanyu, he appeared on this scene. We have all heard that Sri Radharani at a certain stage married with Abhimanyu. But what was the nature of that marriage is perfectly clarified by Abhimanyu himself. He said, he came before Srimati Radharani, placed her feet on his head, and bathed them with his tears. He said, "Oh, Sri Radharani, you are my worshipable goddess. I have never ever touched you before, but today I have achieved the fulfillment of all my life's desires because I have taken the dust of your feet upon my head." People think that I am your husband, but actually Krishna is your husband. Krishna, in order to fulfill his own desire for Parakiya Ras, for the sweet love in its highest form, he arranged for Purnamasi to order Brinda Devi to have us married. But actually, my marriage to you is only to your shadow. Your real heart, the real self of you, are always with Krishna. I am just an instrument to increase the ecstasies of your loving pastimes with Krishna. Let the world know that it is only the shadow of Sri Radharani that I have married. You are the exclusive property of Govinda. But today I have achieved my fulfillment. I have once taken the dust of your feet. But if you leave us, there will be nothing else for us to live for. Then Abhimanyu's sister, Kutila, arrived. She came and she also cried and bathed the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani with her tears, crying, saying, "Please do not die. You are our life and soul. Because you are my sister-in-law, and because you have so many times been going out to be with Krishna, I used to condemn you as being unchaste. And in order to prove that, I was always broadcasting that I am the most and only real chaste woman in all of Vrajbhumi. But Krishna wanted to crush that pride of mine. One time Krishna had a fever, and everyone was very worried that he would leave everything. There was no medicine that pacified him. But Krishna said, "There is only one medicine that will cure this fever and give me life." A chaste woman who is perfect in her chastity has to bring me that medicine. Let that woman who is perfectly chaste take a clay pot with 100 holes in the bottom of it and go to the river Jamuna, fill it up to the top, and bring it to me without one drop falling out. That alone will cure me. So everyone in Vrajbhumi was very much concerned with Krishna. So they immediately ran to Kutila, because she was always boasting that she is the most chaste woman of Vrajbhumi. So they told her, "Please do it." So they gave her the pot with 100 holes in it. Kutila said, "I went to the Jamuna, I filled it up, and within a second, there wasn't even a drop remaining in the pot." So then they decided that my mother, Jatila, she's also supposed to be very chaste. But when Jatila saw what happened to me, she was hiding. My pride was crushed to pieces. Then they called for Srimati Radharani. She is the only one who can save Krishna. Srimati Radharani said, "How could I go? Everyone condemns me for being unchaste. When I go to the river Jamuna just to get water, people think I'm going there just to be with Krishna." So we fell at Radharani's feet and said, please, you have all our blessings, all our permission, bring that water." She took that pot with 100 holes. Kutila said to Radharani, "You took that pot with 100 holes and brought it to Krishna, and not a single particle of a drop fell out. Krishna wanted the world to know that you are the supreme of all chaste, gopis of Vrindavan." Kutila cried out that if you die, if you don't come back to consciousness, what will be our fate? Today the real pride of my life has been achieved because I have taken the dust from your lotus feet. Then Chandravali came with her sakis, headed by Shaibya. She, in Krishna's Leela, you have heard, is like a competitor. But she revealed in this pastime what her actual position is. She cried and bathed the feet of Radharani and took the dust on her head. She said, "Actually, Srimati Radharani, when Krishna comes into my kunja, it is only for one purpose, to increase the ecstasy of your love. When he's with me, he only thinks of you. I am so fortunate that I am just allowed to be a part of your transcendental Leela with Krishna. In Vrindavan, Yoga Maya, makes everyone dance according to Krishna's will. Everyone is simply an instrument to increase the sweetness of the love between Radha and Krishna. Chandravali prayed that if you leave us, Radharani, no one will survive in Vrindavan and Krishna will never come back. Please do not die. So the whole of Vrindavan was weeping and crying, seeing Radharani's condition. And just at that moment, Krishna arrived in his chariot. Where did he arrive? At Niduban. He came off his chariot. There he saw Srimati Radharani laying in her ecstatic, lifeless condition. Immersed in separation of Sri Radharani's love, Krishna cried out, "Oh, Sri Radharani, I am coming to take the dust of your feet to place it on my head." At that moment, seeing Sri Radharani reciprocating with her love, the Lord exhibited an unparalleled, unprecedented form of ecstasy. Seeing Srimati Radharani, his eyes dilated, extremely big and round. Like a tortoise, his arms and legs entered into his body. And then he fell to the ground unconscious. As he laid there, a breeze from the Jamuna touched Krishna's body, and then the fragrance entered into Sri Radharani's senses. Lalita Sakhi whispered sweetly in her ear, "Krishna has come, Krishna has come." Sri Radharani came to her external consciousness. She saw Krishna laying there in the form of Lord Jagannath. She told Vishakha Devi to do the needful. Vishakha Devi began to chant the names of Sri Radharani into the ears of Krishna. Then he came to his external consciousness. Sri Radha and Krishna were again united in the transcendental land of Vrindavan. They rested that night in Niduban. And early in the morning, when the cuckoo birds woke them up, Krishna stood in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. On his left side stood Srimati Radharani, who was wearing a dark blue sari. Lalita Sakhi was offering arti. Vishakha Devi was singing the Mangal Arti of the union of Radha and Krishna. And the other gopis were playing mridanga, karatals, veena, and other instruments. Thus the Mangal Arti ceremony took place. Then Lord Krishna spoke to Srimati Radharani. Please listen very carefully. He said that your love is like a very, very deep, fathomless ocean. In this form of Lord Jagannath, I have come to dive deeply and drown in that ocean of love that is present in your heart. Lord Jagannath is a log of wood that is floating in the ocean of Srimati Radharani's love. The Lord said to her that in this form I will eternally reside in Sri Kshetra, Jagannath Puri Dham. When I appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will manifest the sentiment and complexion of you, Sri Radharani, and I will reside also in Jagannath Puri. And because Balaram and Subhadra helped me to unite with you, I will appear with them also in Jagannath Puri. in the forms that they manifested when they first came and saw the ecstasies of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And those who fully take shelter of this Harinam Sankirtan movement, I will give them this love of Vrindavan in my form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri Dham. So Rath Yatra is very intimately explained in this beautiful story, that Balaram, Subhadra and Jagannath are, as Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj explained, like three logs floating in the ocean of the love within Sri Radharani and the Vrijavasis' hearts. Today we are at Alalanath. After the Snan Yatra, there is a period of 15 days called Anavasara, where Lord Jagannath remains unmanifest to the eyes of everyone except the Dayatapatis. After his birthday on Snan Yatra, which is on the full moon night of the month of Jyestha, he goes into seclusion. And there he is repainted very beautifully. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not bear separation. It is explained that Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Jagannath is in the mood of always crying in separation from Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya is Radharani in the mood of crying for Lord Jagannath. So in the place of Sri Jagannath Puri, these two supreme personalities of Godhead, the Lord and His pleasure potency, are weeping and crying for each other. And it is during the Rath Yatra that they unite. So during this period of Anavasara, it is explained when Jagannath leads the altar, Lord Chaitanya experiences the same ecstasy as when Krishna left the Ras Lila. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a beautiful story of how during the Govardhan Ras Lila in the springtime, when Krishna left the Rasa dance, the gopis were searching for him. He was sitting under a tree. In order to trick them, when they came before him, he appeared in a four-armed form of Lord Narayana, Vaikuntha. So the gopis, they were not attracted to this form. They were reverentially, respectfully offering their obeisances. And after offering their respectful obeisances, they asked Lord Narayana, "Have you seen Shamsundar? Where did he go?" They did not care for God. They wanted Krishna. So with his four arms, he said he went that way. So they all ran that way. But then when Sri Radharani came, she bowed down before Lord Narayan. And with her love, her supreme love, she asked, "Have you seen Shamsundar, my beloved, my Prana Vallava?" And he tried to point the direction. But due to the power of her love, two of his arms just melted off. And he manifested his true form. So the place that happened is called Paita. Some of you we have brought there. Paita, it's a little temple just a few kilometers from Govardhan Hill. This temple of Alvarnath is considered to be very, very closely connected to the temple of Paita by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling the ecstasy of separation from Jagannath, he would come here every year. And here, the deity of Lord Four-Armed Narayan, when Lord Chaitanya came in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya would see Krishna himself. In this stone, that we are sitting right before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his supreme ecstasies of separation, he would lay on this stone and the stone would melt. And we can see the very impressions of his body, his hands, his head, his knees, his feet, his entire body melted the stone. How special is this place? In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come here every year for that 15 days, feeling the immense separation of Jagannath until just before Ratha Yatra. And oftentimes when the devotees would request things of Lord Chaitanya, which he did not desire to do, he would threaten to leave and go to Alanath. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested Mahaprabhu to have an interview with Maharaj Prataparudra, he said, "If you ever ask me this again, I will leave Puri and go to Alalanath." When the devotees requested that Lord Chaitanya be lenient upon Chota Haridas, Lord Chaitanya wanted to maintain very, very high standard for those in the renounced order. He said, "If anyone asks me again on behalf of this rascal, then I will leave Puri and go to Alalanath." Sometimes he would say, "Govinda, collect our things, let us go to Alalanath." The devotee, no, we will not speak again, we will not speak again. So this is a very, very special part of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. The ecstasies of separation that he manifested here were very unparalleled. The deity was originally installed by one of the famous Alwars of the Ramanuj Sampradaya. Because of this, originally the deity's name was Alwanath, but later on it became Alalanath. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur considered this place very, very important. This is called Brahmagiri. He built a small Gaudiya Math here. In fact, he came here just after he began the Gaudiya Math, when he only had a few followers. And he saw that at that time this temple was in very, very old and dilapidated condition. So he wanted to renovate it. And we have been told, actually, Madhavananda Prabhu told me this, that one of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's very dear and old servants explained that while Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was helping to renovate this temple, just to get the workers to keep working without wasting time, he would roll their beaties for them. This is to the level he considered this place so important. Of course, you cannot imitate. One time, the deity spoke to the pujari in a dream and said, "I want to be worshipped by a sannyasi named Saraswati Thakur." So the pujari was looking around and he came to the Gaudiya Math and he asked, "Is there a sannyasi named Saraswati Thakur?" "Yes, our Guru Maharaj, he happens to be here." So the Utsav Murti, which has been here since time immemorial, was presented to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And that deity is still in the Gaudiya Math here at Alalana. Just after this, we will go to have darshan in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's Gaudiya Math, the Alalanath Murti, Utsav Murti. It is also explained that when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was here, there was practically no residence. It was like a jungle. And one day, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur just ran into the forest looking for... He saw Krishna. He said, "Oh, Krishna." And the devotees were looking for hours and hours and hours for him. And finally, they found him unconscious in the middle of the jungles, exhibiting all the symptoms of ecstatic love of God. Yes, this place, Alalanath, is very, very deep and very sacred to our great acharyas. What realizations, what love, what appreciation can we even have at our level of consciousness? We're discussing these things, and many of us are thinking, it's so hot. I'm tired. My legs are aching. What is our absorption? Actually, when we're speaking these pastimes, the fact is that these pastimes are being enacted through sound vibration. Transcendental sound is unique in this way, that if you have the proper perception, the lila is taking place at the very moment when the sound vibration is emanating. Any lila that is spoken according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra by sincere devotees, Krishna is reenacting that lila. And we're all a part of it. And we're falling asleep. What is our eagerness? What is our anxiety? Of course, if somebody else other than me tells it, it's certainly much easier to stay awake, no doubt. But we understand how very, very far away we are from the real perfection of what our acharyas are trying to give us. Our acharyas have sacrificed their lives to give us the nectar of devotion. Srila Prabhupada, what austerities he performed to give us devotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his wife his wife Vishnupriya, his mother Sachidevi, he took sannyas just to give us Krishna. Krishna Prema. In this Gaudiya Sampradaya, the object of our worship and the goal of loving Krishna is so great. It is so deep. How can we understand? Srila Rupa Goswami says that the ecstasy of Brahman realization, Brahmananda, is not even like a particle of a drop compared to the ecstasy of the vast unlimited ocean of bhakti. And when we have some pain or some fatigue, we're thinking how nice it would be to be liberated from this. Why doesn't this pain go away? That means we want liberation. Why doesn't this tiredness go away? That means we want liberation. We're thinking, I'll be so happy if I can just get this liberation. When we're sick with malaria and we're laying there in a fever, and we're thinking, let it go away. That's liberation. But actual mukti, where eternal liberation, that happiness is not even a drop compared to the unlimited ocean of what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to us. So how to achieve it? We have no hope, but we can beg. If we appeal for them, if we show ourselves to be something great, you don't attract a person's compassion. Is that correct? If somebody comes to you and you think, oh, he is very great, he is very nice, are you compassionate toward him? If somebody's really helpless, they're really coming to you with no other hope, no other shelter, then you naturally feel compassionate. You want to help. That's the way we must approach our gurus. That's the way we must approach the holy name when we chant. That's the way we must approach the lila and the instructions of the Lord, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we hear it or when we read it. We're helpless. We're desperate. We're destitute. We have no real love. And whatever little love we have is so insignificant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he dove into the river Ganga. Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu dragged him out. He said, why did you save me? I have no love for Krishna. I have not even a single drop
And the Prabhu dragged him out. He said, "Why did you save me? I have no love for Krishna. I have not even a single drop of love for Krishna. So what is the use of me maintaining this life?" The Lord was showing us what we should aspire to be. So we hear and we chant and we humbly serve in such a spirit that we can attract the compassion of the Lord. We will be enthusiastic, we will be determined, we will be faithful as an expression of our genuine humility. Enthusiasm, determination, strictness in sadhana, earnestness in really serving and carrying out the orders and pleasing the Vaishnavas, this is the symptoms of real humility. Real humility is, "Oh, I'm so fallen, I can't do it." Real humility is, I'm so fallen, I must do it. I have no choice, I must do it. Because I must attract the mercy of the Lord. So it is in this spirit that we have come to Alalanath, to pray for mercy, to pray that we can become really humble servant of the servant of the servant, and never give up the process of hearing the Lord's glories and chanting his holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The Ratha Yatra was so beautiful yesterday and the day before. These carts, it takes 2 months to build these carts. Over 600 full-grown trees are used. And they make new carts every year. In our ISKCON, we use the same carts decade after decade after decade. Really. They use for New York. They've been using it for the last 12 years. Same cart. And when it's time for Toronto Ratha Yatra, they bring it there. When it's time for Chicago Ratha Yatra, they bring it there. It's my trucks. But here in Puri, they build new ones every year. All three. And what do they do with the wood? After this Ratha Yatra, after the return Yatra, they disassemble it and use it for cooking for the deities. There's enough wood that for 9 months, all the cooking fuel is taken care of. I believe there's 5,000 people working in the kitchen. Huh? Sometimes 1,000 in a day. 5,000 people working in the kitchen, and the kitchen area inside the temple is almost 1 acre in size. They cook enough prasad for, what, 10,000 people a day? Sometimes 20,000 people they cook for. So this is Jagannath Puri. It is the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath are eternally exchanging their love. But most important for us, it is the place where they distribute their love to the whole world. Srila Prabhupada was such a wonderful, dear instrument of Mahaprabhu's mercy to bring the glories of Vrindavan, Navadvip, and Jagannath Puri to all of our hearts. And we're very thankful to Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj for so nicely serving this place as Alalanath and so beautifully revealing the glories of Sri Jagannath Puri to the world. And we're very grateful to Madhavananda Prabhu because he is in charge of all the publications of Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj. And he's a very, very special contribution to our movement. Thank you, Prabhu, for joining us today. Another special guest we have is Jairishi Prabhu. Jairishi Prabhu is the disciple of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And he lived for many years at New Vrindavan and then many years in New Dwarka in Los Angeles. Let us welcome him to our yatra. To speak something?
Huh? This statement, I think it's very interesting. The audience might want to know.
Are you all still awake? If you're awake, say Hari Bol. This is a statement made by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in
1934 here in Illinois.
In 1934, in Alalanath, at this Gaudiya Math, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati made this statement. We must take Lord Jagannath in an airplane chariot to Eastbourne, London. There Alalanath, Gaudiya Math, and Gopinath will appear. We must install the deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere in the world. Otherwise, there will be no auspiciousness for the human race. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Lord Brahma did tapasya, and Lord Narayan appeared before him. For that reason, the Alwars installed Alwarnath here. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta established his Gaudiya Math temple here. He named it the Brahma Gaudiya Math. And in that temple, he installed deities. Those deities are still present. Very, very beautiful deities of Radha and Krishna. And their names are Sri Sri Gopi Gopinath. Because he said that this Alanath Dev deity, this is Gopinath. And the Chandan Pukur, the pond, which is a very short distance behind this temple, he said that place is Radhakund. So I think Maharaj may like, we may go the Maharaj at the mutt here next door. We just went to take some photographs here, and he was begging, "Oh, you please come, bring all the devotees." So maybe we can go have darshan there and then go to see Radhakund, just a short distance in the back.